pointed at me on the phone.
Push it right to the edge.
I got an unbelievable story to tell you. Absolutely incredible.
I only like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
Just after me and John took it, Sue came up. Of course, it hadn't yet started to take effect, but right then, I got bad feelings. There's no going back, though. As soon as it's in your mouth, you've committed yourself, so to speak. Sue thought I owed her emotional support in her times of need, but I had decided I didn't want to sleep with her anymore. I didn't know how to tell her, so I just ignored her. After she finally left, red and blue squiggles began peeping out of the cracks on the wall. I didn't feel too good. My mouth was dry. I wanted to throw up. John turned on the TV and selected an empty channel. We watched the snow, waiting for a poltergeist. I slumped down in my chair, and the screen gripped to the floor.
Freak sucks.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. What would you make the world you had now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
I was not drunk. I was on pills.
My show, I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to trip like I do.
And let's not kid ourselves about this. I believe very sincerely and deeply in LSD as a sacrament and the psychedelic way of life. The chances are that I'm wrong, because as a visionary prophet, you know, it's 1 out of 100 that you're right and 99 out of 100 that you're a nut. That's the chance of the game, but history will tell.
Wow, your story is very compelling.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Funnily, it's layers. Built up on top of one another. Like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds on top of each other.
Computers can do that?
There was a peasant woman named Maimuna, and she lived near the sea. And Maimuna was always praying, and her manner of praying was to say, Maimuna loves Allah, and Allah loves Maimuna. And one day, as she was doing this, a saint walked by. He heard her saying, Maimuna loves Allah, and Allah loves Maimuna. And he said to her, No, that's not the way to pray. And he told her the words one should say and went on his way. The saint had a rug, and he placed it on the waves and climbed onto it and went sailing out into the sea. Maimuna stayed behind, trying to pray as he had told her, but she forgot part of what he had said. She saw the saint moving away out into the sea on his rug, and she ran down to the edge of the water and began to call after him. He did not hear her. Then she began to run across the top of the water until she got to the rug where he was sitting. Excuse me, she said, would you mind telling me again how to say that? He stared at her and said, don't think about it. You're a greater saint than I am. I have to have my rug. The if I want to travel on the water. But you can do it on foot.
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas.
Welcome
to the Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right. It's not just a radio program. It's a sound collage. And it's only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Tonight, we're bringing you a theme that I've been working on, well, at least thinking about, for 2 years now. It's called Stories, and we're going to be featuring progressive and venerable Canadian rockers Rush, who have had the same trio lineup since 1974. They're outstanding musicians, and their drummer and lyricist, Neil Peart, is known for writing some of the most literate lyrics in rock music. And in particular, in the second hour of the show, we'll be hearing all of side one of their 1976 album, 2112, the seven-part title suite, telling the story of a man in the dystopian future of 2112 who discovers a guitar and figures out how to play it. And in place of most of my, well, my typical audio clips from movies, TV shows, documentaries, political speeches, this evening, instead, I've got mostly excerpts from a short novel I wrote during my final year of college. So I got bachelor's degrees in both computer science and philosophy, and I wrote this short novel called Dare, essentially as my senior thesis. And there was an excerpt from the beginning set the intro to the story as well. And there it was talking about taking LSD, that most powerful hallucinogen that was most popular in the 1960s, but it was also available when I was in college. And I haven't used it in decades, but it had a truly profound impact on my life in, I think, mostly good ways. Some of the most beautiful and experiences I've ever had, as well as some of the scariest, have involved psychedelic substances. And this is, you know, the disclaimer at the beginning. I'm certainly not urging anybody to take these things themselves. But if you're interested in understanding how the human brain works, how consciousness and perception, how they function, I think psychedelics are incredible tools, gifts from the gods, almost. And in that intro clip about me and John, I was also playing the guitar behind it, a piece I call Playing in the Pasture. So there are a couple of excerpts from what I call Dare coming up throughout tonight's mix. And all of our ambiance tonight, that's the music or sounds that I play in the background when I'm talking during breaks, that will all be from the 19th century Czech composer Anton Dvorak, who was a real bohemian. He was born in Bohemia, and, well, it's gone back and forth, but in Czechoslovakia. So he's particularly known as a composer for taking his country's folk music traditions and turning them into high symphonic forms. And he's backing us up right now. Well, actually, the Slovak Philharmonic Orchestra is. This is his Tu Largo composition. So we began with Paul Bowles and Myumna. That was from an album called The Storyteller and the Fisherman. Music, Stories, and More from Morocco, I believe. And then Rush with a story wrapped in a song, The Trees, originally on Hemispheres. Another another album that certainly tells a big story. Essentially, human beings and the two sides of our psyche, of our brains, in metaphorical ways, but Apollo and Dionysus. And, well, there was a lot. There's a lot of literary references and thoughts on that album, Hemispheres. So we also heard some excerpts from, well, Timothy Leary in that intro, his thoughts on psychedelics as well. So we're going to begin the next set with what was, in fact, the seed crystal for tonight's stories theme. And in the end of 2014, Chuck Yu, as part of his holiday greetings, his card and little package to his friends, he put together a bunch of music on my radio. And that served me in a very well for introducing me to a lot of music that he heard on his radio, and in fact that came to you on your radio through my show. The first theme that I got off of that was one we did last year with Somebody Get Me a Doctor. And this is the second one. This next song is, well, it's a traditional English song. There's lots of different versions of it. I won't tell you what it's about. I just have to listen. And it's a really intense song. And then we're also going to be here. Every song, every public service message in this show is a story. So in the next set, we're going to be hearing from Steve Miller and the Presidents of the United States of America. Something from Jeannie Riley in 1968. Elvis Presley and our featured artists Rush. Here on the Tears of the Gods sound collage as we explore our theme of stories.
The very best day in the year. Little Maddie Groves had gone to church. Holy words for to hear. Holy words for to hear. The first to come down was dressed in red, and the second one dressed in green. The third to come down was Lord Daniel's wife, as fair as any queen, just as fair as any queen. Maddie Grove says to one of his men, see the fair one dressed in white. Although she is Lord Daniel's wife, I'll be with her tonight. I'll be with her tonight. Well, the little foot page was a-standing by, and he heard every word that was said. He says, Lord Daniel shall know tonight, before I go to bed, before I go to bed. He had 15 miles for to go that night, and 10 of them he run. He run till he come to the broke down bridge, then he bent to his breast and he swum. He bent to his breast and he swum. He swum till he come to where the grass was green. He took to his feet and he run. He run till he come to Lord Daniel's gate. He rattled at the bells and the rung. He rattled at the bells and the rung. What news, what news? Lord Daniel says, what news to me have you brung? Little Maddie Groves is in the bed with your wife, and their hearts both beat as one, and their hearts both beat as one. Now if the truth you've told to me, a rich man you shall be. But if a lie you've told to me, I'll hang you to a tree. I'll hang you to a tree. gathered him up about 50 good men. He done it with a free goodwill. Then he popped his bugle unto his lips and he blowed it loud and shrill. He blowed it loud and shrill. I'd better get up, said a little Matty Groves. I better get up and go. I know your husband is coming home, for I heard his bugle blow. I heard his bugle blow. Lay down, my precious one, lay down and go to sleep. It's only my father's shepherd's horn, and he's a-calling for his sheep. He's a-calling for his sheep. So they lay down together again, and they soon were fast asleep. And when they awoke, it was broad daylight, Lord Daniel at their feet, Lord Daniel at their feet. Get up from there, you naked man, and put you on some clothes. I never intend for to have it said that a naked man I slow, that a naked man I slow. Give me a chance, said little Matty Groves, a chance to fight for my life. For there you have two very fine swords, and me not as much as a knife, and me not as much as a knife. Oh yes, I have two very fine swords, and they cost me deep in the purse. You may have the finest one, and I will take the worst. Yes, I will take the worst. Then Matty Groves struck the very first lick, and he wounded Lord Daniel's sword. Lord Daniel struck the very next lick, and he drove Matty Groves to the floor. He drove Matty Groves to the floor. Then he taken his lady by the hand, and he set her on his knee. And he says, now which do you love the best, little Matty Groves or me? Little Matty Groves or me? Very well, I like your rosy cheeks. Very well, I like your chin. But better I love little Matty Groves than you and all of your kin. Than you and all of your kin. You can dig my grave on a pretty green hill. Dig it wide and deep. Put a little Matty Groves in my arms, Lord Daniel at my feet, Lord Daniel at my feet.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Get high and watch them too. And here's what happened when they
stuff on the level, or you're just making it up as you go along?
Johnson, you're wearing your dresses way too high. It's reported you've been drinking and are running round with men and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way. And it was signed by the secretary, Harper Valley PTA. Surprised when Mrs. Johnson wore her mini skirt into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. She said, "I'd like to address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he's asked me for a date. And Mrs. Taylor sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away. And Mr. Baker, can you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town? And shouldn't Gwitta Jones be told to keep her window shades awful completely down?"
Just me and John, it didn't go that well. Paranoia set in pretty early, and although John tried to talk me down, it was a traumatic experience. But when we came off it, I realized how absurd it had been. Dan came over and asked us how it was. Powerful stuff, we told him. He was pretty interested. It didn't take me and John long to convince ourselves that it would be a lot different if we were doing it with a pillar of stability like Dan. We took some more and began setting up our toys. Candles, aluminum foil, and Kool-Aid. We lit the candles and turned out the lights. I put on Tangerine Dream, and we waited. It felt a lot better to start with. John sunk into his chair and smiled behind mirrored glasses. Dan sculpted aluminum foil. I watched the movie. I saw a face in the speaker. Who was it, I wondered. Who did I want it to be? I answered. Like everything else, it's what you want. Dan invited me to join him in a candle. We dipped our fingers in the hot wax, examined them as it solidified, and then melted the wax off in the flames. As our ritual developed, I realized that the pain was only as real as you wanted. But because it was real anyway, Dan and I were sharing something important that John, sitting over there, wasn't. And John knew it too. So I suggested that we go outside and look for it. It, said John. What is it? Dan liked the idea, but John wasn't sure. He was afraid, and I was afraid, But I wasn't afraid of my fear like he was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. Because I really didn't know what it was, and I was sure John didn't, because that's why he was afraid. But Dan seemed to, because he wasn't afraid. But he wouldn't tell me what it was, or even do more than just hint at it, because he thought I knew what it was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. So we went outside and we walked in the shimmering slush, in which there were these marvelous arabesque patterns that I felt bad about stepping on and breaking because they were so 3D, until I realized that you couldn't break them, you could only change them. And John wanted to know if we were coming to it yet, so I asked him if he thought we were coming to it yet. Dan liked that because he laughed, and I knew it was me and Dan against John. And where we were then, the field was below us about 30 feet, so I told John it could be over the edge. Why don't you go look? But he was really afraid, more so than before, which was hard, but it was easy because Dan had laughed, and he didn't know where I was coming from, even though he sort of suspected, I think, like I suspected, because just then it occurred to me that me and Dan were trying to get him to kill himself. Or if he wouldn't do it, we'd have to do it for him. All because he was afraid, which was why he deserved to die. So he didn't want to look over the edge, because if he didn't throw himself over, then we might. But he couldn't very well not look over the edge, because that's where it was, and he couldn't be afraid of it, not when we weren't. And besides, we were his friends, and didn't he trust us? So he had to. But then I realized that I had been afraid before, and he, John, had helped me. And if I was afraid, and he was afraid, who was Dan to try to get him, John, to kill himself just because he was afraid? And I realized that it should be me and John against Dan. So I told Dan that we should all look over the edge to see if it was there, because I wasn't sure either. And then Dan admitted that he really didn't know himself, and I knew he lied, so I was sure we should make him die. And so we all walked over to the edge. But as we got there, I realized I was in the middle, and maybe it was them against me. So I backed off, and John laughed, and Dan laughed, and just to show them I wasn't afraid, even though I was more terribly scared than I had ever been, I laughed. But I wasn't convinced, and I didn't think they were. And Dan asked me, "Are you going to look over the edge, or aren't you?" So I said he should look over the edge first and tell me if he saw it. And then John said the same thing, and Dan laughed at the both of us because he really was afraid, but he couldn't let us know, even though right there he gave it away worse than he ever could have.
Evil plot. Your life's in danger and you can hear the shot. Your head is spinning and you're fading fast. How long do you think this kind of fun can last? Your luck will change with a simple motion. I found my idol in a bottle in the ocean. He split the cloud to find the sea. It shows those evil guys how nasty those cheeky guys can be. Alright, he got a cheeky guy. Say
as the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. People, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns, a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies, on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
We'll be right back.
vegetables, canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out. Oh.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
I want to.
Sorry. Duncan.
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Tonight, here on the Tears of the Gods sound collage, our theme is stories. All songs that tell a story. We began with the seed crystal for tonight's theme. Doc Watson's version of Mattie Groves, the traditional English folk ballad, describes a tryst between Mattie Groves and the wife of Lord Bernard, who ends up killing him. It's a pretty good story, a pretty intense song. And thanks to Chuck Yu for turning me on to that. Then we heard the Steve Miller Band, Take the Money and Run. And then Jeannie C. Riley, Harper Valley PTA. And as I mentioned earlier this evening, rather than having my usual audio clips from movies and TV shows, documentaries, political speeches, I'm pretty much mostly having some excerpts from a short novel that I wrote my final year of college for the philosophy degree part of my studies. It was called Dare, and it was a series of vignettes modeled a lot on the work of Jerzy Kaczynski. And we've got some more of that coming up. That particular excerpt, didn't originally give it a name, but we'll call it Me, John, and Dan, was about a bad LSD trip. And then we heard from the presidents of the United States of America, Tiki God. Followed that with Elvis Presley in the Ghetto. And our featured artists, Rush, Red Barchetta, a song about a future where it's illegal for human beings to drive automobiles. Seemed like a crazy thought when the song came out. Now, it's not such a crazy thought, is it? And then we finished off the set with a story wrapped in a public service message about drinking and driving and Michelle Jimenez and her family that's been left behind. Backing Me Up is our featured ambient artist of the show, the 19th century Czech composer Anton Dvorak, who is also quite a talented violinist and conductor as well. And if you know nothing else about him, well, besides being a real bohemian, because he was from Bohemia, he's particularly known for taking the Czech folk music traditions and turning them into high symphonic music. So Ernest Hemingway, well, he set this up before, no doubt. But as the story goes, he bet a couple of his drinking companions one day, $10 each, that he could compose a short story in just 6 words. They took up his bet and, well, it was took the form of a classified ad. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. I think that's a great example of the kind of art that's like a net with leaving lots of details open to interpretation by the listener. I think that's one of my most important theories of creating art, leaving enough space, enough ways that people can find personal meaning in something that obviously doesn't have exact personal meaning for them. And I think that's part of, you know, living a rich life. So you have these experiences that you can go back and reflect on and enjoy. I am truly glad for a lot of the experiences that I've had in life, both the pleasurable ones and the ones that weren't so pleasurable, but what shall we say, built my character, like the bad LSD trip I was talking about. Yeah. Well, in the next set, we're going to be hearing another traditional song as performed by Led Zeppelin. And we're going to be hearing the incredibly talented Joni Mitchell, as well as the Dixie Chicks and the British band Bad Company. Didn't get this particular song. We'll be hearing from them in last week's show, where we had them as a featured artist, Sounds of the 70s, along with songs from Stevie Wonder's epic album, Talking Book. But you can still go back and listen to it on our archives for another week. I think that show turned out pretty well. And we're going to start off this set with, oh yeah, a real story from Johnny Cash here on the Tears of the God Sound Collage, only on WMFO in Medford.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat a dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die? Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah. He said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in the eye, cause I'm the son of a bitch that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing, but Sue, I still ain't that bad. Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I see my friends coming, riding many a mile. My friends, you get some silver, you get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. Silver, I couldn't get no gold. You know that we're too damn poor. From the gallows pole.